Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. The name of the message today is the God of all grace. The God of all grace. 1 Peter chapter 5. And today I hope to finish up this study. We've been going through this wonderful little epistle written to God's suffering saints in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And we've looked at it, and it's been a wonderful journey through this little book. This is a general epistle, therefore it applies to all the ages of the church, just as the whole Bible does, though. The whole Bible applies to we who are God's blood-bought saints. Now, last time we met, we looked at verses 5 to 7, where we focused on verse 7 a lot, and the fact that we are to cast ourselves upon the Lord, the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, at all times. The Scripture tells us to cast our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Do you have concerns? Do you have concerns? Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Do you have worries about things in your life or things going on in the world? Beloved of God, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Do you have fears? We all have fears sometimes, don't we? Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Are you struggling with sin in your life? That's a constant struggle, isn't it? It's a constant struggle for every believer. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And remember, this is every individual sheep of God He cares for. It's personal, beloved. It's personal. Are you struggling with someone at work? Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Are you feeling stressed out from life or from a situation? Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You have cares that you're carrying around inside that no one else knows. Situations going on that you haven't told anyone about. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Lastly, are you tossed to and fro with the storms of life? Are you enduring a fiery trial like the saints were that Peter was writing to? Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. May God give us the grace to do that. May God give us the grace to do that. So today I'd like us to finish up this study of this wonderful little epistle. Let's read verses 8 to 11. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is roaring mad. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then we see Peter's final greeting to the suffering saints that he's writing to in verses 12 to 14. By Silvanus, a faithful book writer unto you, I suppose I have written, briefly exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein you stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now take note of verses 8 and 9. Peter here brings forth that we have an adversary, beloved, the devil, and that he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we are to resist him, and we are to resist temptation, being steadfast in the faith, knowing that our any affliction that you go through, another believer is going through it too. Look at this in verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom is this steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world? Note, we're to be sober and vigilant. We're to live soberly, or practice sobriety, or moderation in our lives. And we're to be watchful of our conduct and our attitude, all for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to have seriousness of mind and carefulness to maintain sound beliefs and practices personally and in the church. And we're to have sincerity in our profession of Christ, in our prayers and in our worship. John tells us to try the spirits whether they be of God. And all of this is necessary because your enemy, the devil, roams about like a hungry lion seeking someone to seize upon, and praise God, our Savior watches over us and protects us. Because left to ourselves, we're no match, are we? We're in a heap of trouble. And let us always remember that the devil cannot devour the Lord's people. He cannot. Note the text that says, whom he may devour. Hawker brings forth that he cannot. He cannot. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 54:17 in light of this. Consider what's written about God's people and cling to these promises, beloved of God. Cling to these promises that are in the Scripture, because they're there for us to cling to. They're there for us to cling to. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed in every tongue saith the Lord. But notice that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Sometimes it feels that way, though, but the Scripture says it won't. It won't. Those who are our enemies will meet their end. God will perfect us. He takes care of us. And then turn to the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we see the Scriptures proclaim that the Lord always gives His people strength, and that there's no temptation that we go through. That we may bear that temptation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Now that's really, really plain and clear, isn't it? Nothing that we go through is not common to man. But God is sufficient. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 32. We looked at this scripture a few weeks back. And I want us to not lose sight of these precious promises. Jeremiah 32, look at verses 38 to 40. These precious promises that we have in the Lord, that He will ever keep us. And this portion of Scripture has become very, very dear to me. Look at this in Jeremiah 32, verse 38. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Verse 38. That's the Lord speaking there. We will be His people. And we are made willing in the day of His power. He will not lose one of His sheep, beloved. Look what He says. And I'll give them one heart. One heart. And one way. That's Christ. There's only one way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. That they may fear me forever. And remember that night we looked at that scripture? And I brought forth, why do you believe every day? Why do you wake up every day and believe? Because God says you will not depart from Him. You're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. He keeps you, beloved. So think of that. While we resist Satan steadfast in our faith, as our text in 1 Peter claims, we are always reminded that our faith is fulfilled and given to us by the Lord. He keeps us, He saves us, and He keeps us. Always by Him. And so the same afflictions leading to the same triumphs are accomplished in our brethren which are in the world. And we overcome. We overcome our adversary by the blood of the Lamb, by Christ and Christ alone. No other way. No other way. Let's go back to our text and 1 Peter chapter 5, this leads right into our text. In the next two verses, we see that our great God, this is the only title that is given to our great God. 1 Peter 5, verses 10 and 11. But the God, what a title, beloved. What a title for our great God. Truly, truly, we who have tasted His grace and His mercy in a saving way can proclaim with our dear brother Peter that our God is the God of all grace. He is the God of all grace. And let us take note here in the Scripture, how the Holy Spirit of God by the Apostle adds and brings more to the saints of God whom He was writing to by these wonderful words. But the God, and remember, He's writing to them, they're suffering through all different things. And again, this book is written to God's suffering saints, and He just adds even more comfort by saying, the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that, ye have suffered a while. He acknowledged that they were suffering. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The life of faith is a life of one continual warfare. Brother Johnny and I have talked about that. It's a constant battle. We're soldiers of Christ. We're soldiers of Christ. We're God's chosen people. But we're a tried people, aren't we? We're a tried people. We go through things in this world. But take note, what comfort here is brought forth by the Apostle Peter, that our God is the God of all grace. He's the God of all grace. And it's He who has called us. It's He who has called us unto His eternal glory by and through Christ Jesus our Lord. And after that you suffered for a while, and we suffer, He'll make you perfect, establish your strength, and you settle you, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, endless volumes could be written on this blessed scripture right here before us. And it would still remain unexhausted. It would still remain unexhausted. Who can unfold and lay open the love of Him who is here before us in the Scriptures by a striking distinction, right? Called the God of all grace. That's a mine that you could mine for the rest of your life, beloved. And you would not exhaust it. Our God is the God of all grace. And we know that our God in the Scriptures, He's called gracious. And we who are the redeemed of the Lord know this to be true. But what a title is brought forth here before us by the Apostle Peter. The God of all grace. All grace. And again, this is the only place in Scripture where this title was used. And it's used by the Apostle Peter. Now I want us to think. I want us to seek to learn here as Peter is speaking. You know, Peter's using this title coming from a place of experience. Coming from a place of experience. He uses this title and calls our great God the God of all grace. Remember, he denied the Lord 3 times. He'd been tried and tested by our adversary, and he'd suffered much during those trials, and he knew that his restoration and his safety after falling only came from the God of all grace. So keep that in mind as we're reading this. Peter's writing from experience, beloved. He's writing from experience. He's admonishing the church here on the danger of this walking about adversary because he suffered much, but the Lord has sustained him, hasn't he? The Lord has sustained him, kept him, just as he does for every one of his sheep. He does the same for us as he did for Peter. And we have a great foe to contend with, but let us remember, we always have a much greater, even an almighty friend, God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who's called what? The God of all grace. The God of all grace. He alone is our refuge, and in Him alone are we safe. So we can see why then Peter exhorted the saints of God to cast all their care upon Him. For He cared for you. Because He had went through that situation where He denied the Lord 3 times. What do you think Peter did? He cast all his care upon the Lord, didn't he? Remember when the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? Oh, my goodness. All his cares cast upon the God of all grace. And this also speaks of God as the source of all spiritual comfort and help for every occasion. The one who has called us into His eternal glory by the Lord Jesus Christ. Never think something is too small to carry to the God of all grace. Never think that something is too insignificant to carry to the God of all grace. Cast all your care upon Him. All of it. Because He careth for you. Oh my. The God of all grace cares for me. Just ponder that. Just ponder that. Oh my. Mercy, 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 mercy. Note the words here, establish and strengthen, settle you. Think of these words again in light of Jeremiah 32 where we heard the Lord say to us, they shall not depart from me, about His people. Think of those words in light of that. Establish, strengthen, settle. God will not let us depart from Him. Now the Greek word for establish means to stand, to set fast, to fix firmly. The Greek word for strengthen means to strengthen, of course. It's used to say those who are without strength are strengthened. Are you without strength? I am all the time. And we're strengthened by the Lord, aren't we? And then the word settle there means to lay the foundation, to make stable, to establish. And how's all this done for the believer? In Christ. Only in Christ. Nowhere else. In Him. And this is a work of God, beloved. It's not anything we can do. Because we're tossed to and fro in trials and things that happen, aren't we? But He keeps us, beloved. We're settled in Christ. And through each trial and temptation that we go through, God keeps us, strengthens us, and He picks us back up and restores us when we fall. And all we can say is, praise His mighty name. Praise His mighty name. Now we see the word perfect there in the context of God making us perfect. Now think of this in light of when God calls us home. When God calls us home. We are conformed, we are being conformed to the image of Christ. Now the Greek word for perfect there is defined as this, to render fit. To render fit. Remember when we were doing our study in Colossians? We're qualified for heaven. That's to be made fit. Oh my. Oh my. This Greek word is rendered to render fit, sound, complete. To mend that which is broken or rent. To repair, to complete. To repair, to complete. So after you suffered for a little while in this world, after the believer suffered a little while in this world, the God of all grace who chose you in Christ and redeemed you by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and in His mercy called you to repentance and faith and gave you that gift of faith and repentance. You were born again by the Holy Spirit of God will complete and make you what you ought to be and what He's predestined you to be, just like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Philippians 1. Philippians chapter 1. Paul writes of this to the Philippians. He writes of this precious truth in Philippians chapter 1. Look at this. Oh, I love this. What a wonderful verse. If anything in our salvation was left up to us, we'd mess it up. But it's not. It's not. Look at this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will what? Perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh my. We're being conformed to the image of the Son, beloved. So this cry of praise is that we see. Now let's go back to our text and we take note that after Peter brings forth this wonderful title of God being the God of all grace and the wonderful truth of our calling by God and that He keeps us and establishes us and that one day we'll be made perfect. Peter breaks out in this wonderful doxology here in verse 11. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the cry of praise from a grateful heart, beloved. And this is the cry of praise which is due Him, because He alone is the God of all grace. He alone. And He bestows upon His people His grace and mercy in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has manifested to His people His goodness and divine grace, and therefore it is fitting to give Him all the glory. And to give Him all the honor. And to give Him all the praise. Because, beloved, His dominion is an everlasting dominion. And He dispenses His grace as well as His providential favors in a sovereign way. However it pleases Him to do so. However it pleases Him to do so. And God's people, we're grateful that we're recipients of that grace, aren't we? My. We've tasted that the Lord is gracious again. And we will proclaim a hearty amen to what the apostle has written here. Now let's read verses 12 to 14 in this closing chapter. And we'll see Peter's final greeting to the suffering saints that he's writing to. Look at verse 12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Now, Silvanus is the same as Silas, and he's often mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles. He's a companion of the Apostle Paul. It's been thought by several commentators that Peter met with him in his travels and sent this letter by him. And note, his character is here brought forth. He's called a faithful brother. A faithful brother. Not only to Peter and Paul, but to those whom this letter is written to. He's a faithful minister of the gospel, beloved. And he had no doubt preached the wondrous free grace of God in Christ to the saints that Peter's writing to. And Peter brings forth here that there's only one true grace, one true gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. and it's in Christ, and Christ alone. Therefore, he brings forth the true grace of God. Let's read that text again. By Sabinus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Now remember this, that by the time that Peter was writing this letter, other views of Jesus had developed, and Peter here asserts that there is only one true grace of God. One true grace of God. One true gospel. And this has been a theme which Peter has emphasized often in this epistle about the grace of God. Let's look quickly. Turn to chapter 1, if you would. Turn to chapter 1. We see him often mention grace. Grace. And you tie that in with here where he says, this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and in verse 13. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Then look at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now let's turn over to chapter 2. And Peter brings forth again about this grace. And he brings forth that the Lord is gracious. Look at this. If so be, verse 3, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Again, speaking of the grace of God in Christ. Then turn to chapter 3 and look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And then look at verse 10 of chapter 4. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Same grace that Peter's talking about in our verse. And then look at chapter 5, verses 5 and 10. And then we'll look at verse 12 again. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth what? Grace to the humble. And then look at verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And then here again in our verse, in verse 12, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. One faith. One Savior. And so Peter's writing of the grace of God, which he calls here the true grace of God. And that, beloved, is where you stand. You stand in Christ, who is the fountain of all grace and mercy. All the grace that God has for you and I as believers comes through Christ and Christ alone. Nowhere else. Let's look at verses 13 and 14. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you. And so doth Marcus, my son, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you and all that are in Christ. Amen. Note, Peter sends a greeting to the suffering saints from the church which is at Babylon and from John Mark. This is who Marcus is. And let us note the nugget of truth which is tucked into this verse. Peter brings forth to the suffering saints of God that they are elected or chosen by God. Together. Look at this. The church that is at Babylon elected together with you. Do you know that you were chosen in Christ the same time that Peter was chosen, the same time that Paul was chosen? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Oh my. We are elected together in Christ. And this was all done before the foundation of the world. And we were chosen to be partakers of the grace of God in Christ, which Peter has been writing to them about. And remember, Peter's been contrasting their suffering with the suffering that Christ went through to redeem us from all our sins. The sinless sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, dying in the place of sinners. Now note, Peter affectionately brings forth that they are to greet one another with a kiss of charity, which is love. He closes with, "Peace be with you, all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen." He writes these words to those who are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Those who have been called by God the Holy Spirit, born again, regenerated by His almighty power, called with an effectual calling. And they have professed Christ, and they are part of the body of Christ, and part of a gospel church. And these are those who love Christ Jesus, who are in Christ Jesus. To those, the apostle wishes peace, temporal peace, spiritual peace, and eternal peace. Where? All in Christ. All in Christ. And all by the grace of God. If you're saved, give glory to our great God. Give glory to the God of all grace. Because it's only Him who's made you to differ from anyone else you know out there in that world. That's pretty humbling for us. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Truly, truly, we who are His people have tasted that He is the God of all grace. And we're closed with what Peter closed with. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the study through this wonderful book and how we see Peter bring forth what comfort we have in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. And Lord, we who have tasted that You are gracious know that You comfort us here in all times. Let us keep our eyes fixed upon Thee, Lord Jesus. May You give us grace and strength in time of need. We love You and praise You, and we thank You for Your goodness and mercy and grace towards us in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.